Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today on the day after we saw two blowouts in the NBA last night. The Boston Celtics and Oklahoma City Thunder, the two number one seeds with big wins last night. Hello, sir.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, my friend.
So just trying to be cordial, try to, you know, ease my way into it as not to upset the control room back in Bristol, as we have been wont to do.
So you think by being very formal in your hello to me, Cam and Bubba are going to be pleased?
I
what?
A-Y-E. It's an alternative to yes.
You don't really use an alternative to yes. A-Y-E?
Cam, Bubba, can you please vouch for me? This is not the first time that I've used I as an affirmative on
you
this
know
show.
I listen
Nor will
to
it
this
be
show,
the last.
And yeah. I have not heard that.
You say it quite often, if anything.
No, it's not often. I just kind of pull it out when I need to.
When he feels like derailing a conversation, yes.
No.
He
I don't
didn't
feel
even
like,
start a conversation.
No, I couldn't derail something that wasn't railed. That was weird.
Whoa.
Why don't you talk instead of me? Because I should stop now as I'm railroading this discussion before it began.
Before it got railed.
Let me get the train back on the tracks here.
Please.
Yeah. Let me get this central.
Let's re-metaphor this whole thing.
Yeah. Let's get this centralized like grand. Anyway.
You want to talk about basketball?
Trains is really Pat Moynihan, the lead singer of Train, going to join us coming up. Or is it Monahan?
I don't even know who you're
Bubba,
talking
about.
Bubba,
is it Moynihan or Monahan?
I thought that's the president of the PGA Tour.
That's Jay Monahan.
Yeah, so I think this might be Moynihan.
Like Bridget? Like Tom Brady's ex?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's actually said the same way.
Hmm.
Bridget Moynihan, Pat Monahan. I think it's Pat Monahan.
Oh, so we need to get research
yeah,
on
Monahan.
That.
Monahan. Pat Monahan.
And what's Jay, the PGA Tour guy?
Also Monahan.
So we have Monahans versus Moynihans.
People aren't talking about that enough. Because best I can tell, no one's talking about it at all.
I think we've now talked about it enough.
Is there a fourth
Moynihan? I told you, Cam was going to be cranky if we didn't start on the rails with a good formal basketball discussion.
Is there okay, just one final question, I promise-ish, for this, Cam. Is there a fourth Moynihan or Monahan that we could make into the Mount Rushmore? Hey, Javante, of Moynihans or Monahans? Is that a possibility?
Let me look at former
athletes. We only have three Moynihans or Monahans. Do we have a fourth?
There's a Rinty Monahan who
don't know.
Pitched for the Philadelphia A's in 1953.
Oh, that's your favorite player of all time?
10 2/3 innings, Rinty Monahan. I don't know so much about him, but we at least can now fill out our Mount Rushmore accordingly.
Okay, good. Now we can move on.
Buried in Brooklyn.
Everybody was dying for that breakdown here. Okay, so last night Boston wins 120-95. Over the Cleveland Cavaliers. I ignorantly, yesterday, on Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, here on ESPN Radio with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty, I ignorantly said to Brian Windhorst, I feel like the Cavs have a shot. And Windy responded by asking me, a shot at what? And then I moved on from that because I felt very dumb, and Windy knows basketball better than anyone, and last night was proven to be a dumb take by me to even think the Cleveland Cavaliers have a shot in this series. Jaylen Brown, 32, Derek White, 25, Jason Tatum, 18 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Donovan Mitchell did have 33, but I think the story of the game for the Cavaliers was the casual fan probably watching last night and literally saying to whoever it is that they were watching or in their head, wait, he's still in the NBA? About Tristan Thompson and Marcus Morris Sr. potentially, and that was probably your big takeaway from the Cavs. But when I look at the Celtics now, there is a chance that their road to the NBA Finals will not include playing against a definitive Hall of Famer.
Hmm.
Think about this for a second. If you look at beating Miami, so Kevin Love is probably going to get into the Hall of Fame, I would think, but maybe not definitive. Bam Adebayo would have the best shot. Between those two, let's just say, potentially. In this series against the Cleveland Cavaliers, maybe Donovan Mitchell makes it to the Hall of Fame. And in the next series, if we're going to assume the Knicks, maybe Jalen Brunson. And if you assume the Pacers, maybe Tyrese Halliburton and maybe Pascal Siakam. And I am stretching. The Boston Celtics now are so good during the regular season, and in my mind, will be so not tested during the postseason before getting to the finals. I don't know that we have ever seen a run that could potentially have them going up against teams where they will not play against a surefire Hall of Famer.
In recent years, the Western Conference has been considerably better than the East. That, of course, is nothing new. Many of LeBron James's trips to the NBA Finals, that was at the epicenter of the conversation. Are they going to be tested enough to have championship medal? But I think this Boston Celtics team is great no matter what season they're in. I mean, 25-point wins this season. They've got 19 of them. It's 8 more than any team in the NBA, more than any team, including the playoffs, in the history of the NBA. They won a game last night by 25 points in which Jason Tatum shot badly. It was 7 of 19 from the floor. Didn't make a 3. That's kind of the genius of this team, the genius of this roster, is that even without Kristaps Porzingis, even if Jason Tatum plays really badly, they can still wax you because they have so much depth. They're so well coached. I think this team is a rocket to the moon. They're going to get to the NBA Finals and do so in 15 or fewer games. That'll be my prediction.
Yeah, so you may be right on everything you just said, but it is the easiest counter ever. It's like saying there's not a fourth obvious Moynihan or Monahan. Like, it's so obvious.
Just
right?
Like that, yeah.
They're not playing the full teams. They didn't play the full version of the Miami Heat. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they're not even playing the full version of them because Jared Allen was out last night, and they're not going to play the full version of the Knicks. And I know that happens everywhere, every time. You're looking at me, you're going to bring up the Heat last year?
No, I'm going to bring up the fact that they're not whole either because Kristaps Porzingis is out.
That is true.
So it does work both ways. I think that both of us can be right in this case. The Celtics were an historically great regular season team.
Yep.
They're going to steamroll through the playoffs until they get to the NBA Finals, where they're going to have some kind of shock when they face a real basketball team. All of those things can be true at the same time. I'm not, though, discounting what they're doing in the playoffs because they're not beating people by a little bit. They're beating people by a lot. Margin of victory is a very predictive stat, of course. And the Celtics have won each of the last 2 games by 25 or more points and have won 4 games by at least 20 this postseason.
So let me ask you this then. If they don't, They don't get to the finals.
Oof.
Okay. I have no answer to what I'm about to ask you, admittedly. I cannot even come up with non-injury, a team that is still alive that I could even envision beating them. And I don't think there's some invincible team. Like, I think whoever they face out of the West, I would actually pick that team, specifically if it's the winner of Denver and Minnesota, over Boston.
Okay, let's go through all 4 of those teams real quick. You'd favor
the West, you're saying?
Yeah, you'd favor OKC over Boston?
If they were able to get there, I probably would.
Minnesota?
Yes.
Dallas?
Denver, yes. Dallas, no.
Okay, so you think that the Boston Celtics are the 4th best team remaining?
No. I think that I would pick 3 teams over them. I don't necessarily know that they're the 4th best team because I'm not doing it over 82-game sample size, and they're not doing it all against each other. I'm saying what I envision to be momentum / style of play / health by the time that they would arrive in June, I can envision that. But go back to the East for a second. Could you even make up non-injury more than we already have? Any scenario in your head where the Boston Celtics could lose before the finals?
I could not, no.
I can't either.
I don't think any of these teams have the offensive artillery. I don't think any of these teams have the depth. I don't think any of these teams have the coaching. Like, Miami and Philly were the only 2 teams that I thought had a chance. They got Miami, of course, without Jimmy. And Philly was
without Jimmy, without Rozier, Duncan Robinson hurt, and without Hawkeye.
The whole kit and caboodle, right? Yeah. And they obviously didn't meet Philly. Had they done so, they would have beaten them because Philly wasn't whole either. So you're right. But
can I actually, I'm going to throw one wrench in this. I'm sorry.
No, please.
Here's the only wrench, and it is so not realistic. It is so absurdly, like, out of left field. The only non-injury-related wrench I could throw into this argument that the Celtics, you can't even imagine in your brain someone in the Eastern Conference beating them, is if the Indiana Pacers win the next 4 games against the Knicks. They win in 7, I couldn't imagine it happening. If they win in 6, I couldn't imagine it happening. If the Knicks win in 7, if the Knicks sweep, I still can't imagine them beating the Celtics. If the Indiana Pacers somehow find this magic where they win the next 4 games, yes, a depleted Knicks team, but they play so hard. Maybe then I could say, well, this Indiana team is way better than I ever realized, and they score so many points, and they're so fast. And Carlisle is an elite coach that maybe, possibly, I could see that. That is the only scenario, and I don't believe that is realistic in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, stylistically, you're probably right. There was a time this season around the in-season tournament when I thought Indiana had a real chance, like a real like conference finals chance. At that point, Tyrese Halliburton was playing at like a first-team All-NBA level. They've since, of course, traded for Pascal Siakam. It just didn't really all come together. But in order to beat Boston, I think you're probably right. You're going to have to average 120 points in that series. Indiana's probably the only team in the East that could even even fake it to get there. You agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. The other game, Hembo, and along with Hembo, Evan Cohen from On Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, in for Greeny today. Oklahoma City beats Dallas last night, 117-95. They're up 1-0 in the series. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has 29-9-9 in this game. Aaron Wiggins has 16 off the bench. They look young. They look spry. Luka only has 19 points in this game. It is breaking a streak of, 24 straight playoff games with 20 points or more. And if you look at what I consider quote-unquote clutch or a big game performer, is simply matching what you do in the regular season and the postseason. Derek Jeter's greatness is not because of the fact that he was like all of a sudden Hank Aaron in the postseason in terms of numbers. It's that Derek Jeter in the postseason was Derek Jeter in the regular season. That's it. Where other guys would actually go down, right? By that metric, which is not a metric, it's a theory and a process, but whatever, Luka Doncic in the 7 games they've played in this postseason has scored less than his average in 6 of those games. Banged up, knee injury. Tim Legler this morning on Get Up called him cooked, called the Mavs cooked. I tend to agree at this point, and I did not have as much faith as everyone else did in the Dallas Mavericks, and I think the biggest winner in all of this outside of Oklahoma City in the unfortunate news that Dallas is cooked, potentially, biggest winner would be the Lakers. And why is that? Because the Mavericks extended Jason Kidd, and I do not believe Jason Kidd's a big-time coach, and I believe the Lakers would have gone for Jason Kidd. And I think that we are going to see in this series, Jason Kidd is not going to be able to coach his way out of this with the banged-up Luka and Kyrie Irving.
So that's my question, is the banged-up Luka element of it. Because when you watch Luka Doncic play, it's pretty clear he's not close to 100%. I dug into the numbers a little bit this morning.
You don't say.
And discovered there's actually a way through a site we use that's called Second Spectrum. I'm sure you've heard of it for NBA tracking, where it can actually measure the average arc on each of his shots, each of everyone's shots. And Luka's three-point shot over the last several games has been considerably flatter than it was in the regular season, which tells me, of course, he doesn't have the requisite lift to make those shots. A lot of them, as you're seeing right now, as we're watching on the ESPN app, are missing front iron. And that's, of course, because the knee's off. The knee's bad. And so it's hard for me to be critical of Jason Kidd. It's even hard for me to be critical of Luka Doncic. I think, though, the result of Game 1 is a commentary on style of play. When you're so heliocentric in your style of play, when you need so much from your alpha, it's much more difficult to win a game in which your plan A fails. And the Thunder are a perfect example of a team that have so much depth, so many good young legs, and play such good defense that they don't necessarily need 30 or 35 or 40 points from SGA to win a basketball game in the playoffs.
All right, we will get into the Thunder side of it because there's an argument that maybe we are underrating them. They're the number one seed in the Western Conference.
And I've got some staggering numbers on their defense so far.
Maybe I won't stick around for that. That's next. Greeny on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app.
Greeny, the podcast. Earlier on Greeny.
Just respond however you feel like responding, but this is for everybody. Will there be a coaching change in Washington?
Aye. Yes.
God, every time with this guy.
Every time.
I felt the need to say aye. I said respond however you want.
Yeah, I only do this when you call a quorum. That's the best way to answer that question succinctly.
Your mistake was telling Hembo to do whatever he wants.
You said aye? What the hell is going on? Is this the House of Parliament? All in favor say aye? That's
all right, yay or nay?
How about just saying yes, I think they'll fire him.
Yay or nay?
Or no, they won't. No, don't say yay or nay. In what other circumstance?
You might get that sponsor. That's like a really cool conceit.
It'll be sponsored by who?
This is Greeny.
So much to talk about here. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio, alone with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny. Do you know what's playing right now?
I'm really excited to give you these Thunder stats.
Okay, just wait 1 second.
Well, okay, is this a famous song?
Oh, my God.
Bubba, is this a famous song?
You can say Virginia.
It's Train. You know the lead singer of Train? Pat Monahan.
you're doing like the callback to the last segment thing. I see. You're such a pro.
I didn't do this.
You've done so many reps.
Bubba,
why are you telling Evan?
Evan's sitting next to you. I don't think he...
Evan doesn't play the music.
By the way, did you guys switch chairs? I'm just looking at you now on my monitor here on the ESPN app. Did you guys switch chairs and not tell me this is coming, or am I just seeing backwards or seeing double?
This is ridiculous because every single time Evan is in, I sit in this chair, Bubba sits at the board. Every single time Greeny is in, I sit at the board and Bubba sits in this chair.
That's not true.
This has been happening for the last 8 months or
Wait, why is that? I didn't know that.
We didn't even talk about this. You can't just do stuff like.
We've been doing this for the last 8 months.
So does Bubba basically not want to produce if I'm here?
Yeah, is that your contract?
I don't want to do anything with you.
Is that in your deal?
Wow. Yeah.
I
didn't know that.
I'm just so blown away Bubba's management.
This is how we have looked of you guys hosting for the last like 8 or 9 months.
It just never occurred to me until just this second.
That's obvious.
I don't know what
that's crazy.
So what does that say about me?
You're not
all bad things?
You're not observant?
Do you find me to be unobservant?
No, I think you're observant. I just don't think you care about anybody but yourself.
Do you care about my Thunder stats?
No, but we will get back to that. The other thing is I am so glad because Greeny is obviously the standard here at ESPN Radio. He's been on ESPN Radio for as long as ESPN Radio basically has existed with now multiple highly successful all-time shows.
Hall of Famer.
Right. And reacting the way that he, unknowingly, the same way he did about your eye, as in instead of yes, is very validating for me. We don't need to have the same opinions on things, but the reaction around you saying I, A-Y-E, instead of yes. Now, I do think yay or nay is a very interesting segment to be sponsored. Huh. And Bubba asked the question, by whom would that be sponsored?
I love how you used whom.
That is correct.
It's delicious. Yeah, it's correct.
I am very conscious of speaking slower and articulating my words more so when I'm with you than with anyone else. If you were not here and it was just CeCe and Smalls, I would just speak however it is.
Just
I
talk
speak.
Like you.
Right. But with you, I feel like I am constantly being judged by an English teacher while sitting next to me. I feel like I have to, I don't look like it, but like starve myself before I work with you because of how judgmental you are about literally everything. So when asking, are you observant? You are observant. It is not that. It's that you only care to observe things about yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a definite character flaw. But I really want to get to these Thunder stats.
That was a great observation by Evan, by the way.
Because they're my stats. Cam, you agree with him?
That you only care about yourself?
Yeah.
I think you've been known to lean that way for sure.
But Cam, I have said he's unintentionally selfish.
I would say that's right.
I don't know if you're ready to go to he's intentionally egocentric.
I don't think it's malicious. I think he just doesn't think to take the time to wonder why something's happening until, 9 months later he notices it.
I feel like I'm in group therapy now. Like Bubba, are you going to pile on as well and third this selfish notion?
I just can't believe going back to, literally from whether it's been Evan sitting in that chair, Kenny and Carlin, Cam's been sitting back there. I've been sitting here for like 2 years. I don't want to... The fact that you questioned, did you guys switch chairs, is insane.
I'm very much in my own zone. And I need to do a better job of opening my eyes to the rest of the world and seeing what you all are doing. The thing is, I don't care. So I have to pretend like I care.
So it is on purpose.
It's not on purpose.
You just said you don't care.
But it's not purposeful. It's not intentional. It just is. It's my state of being. It's not like I'm going to make a conscious decision to only think or care of myself.
Well, you just made known that you are aware of your lack of care for other people. So I think that is the awareness.
There's no alteration in that, is what you're saying.
I don't have the desire to edit that formula. I don't have the desire.
So I do think there's one other thing about you, as long as we're airing all kinds of grievances.
I do have this really good Thunder streak that I want to get to.
Right. There is a point, he's only noticed you guys now because Greeny's not here. I've noticed with him, even in the offices when we're not on the air, if Greeny's there, he is laser focused on Greeny.
I'm different?
Oh my God, are you different?
Oh, I'm different.
You're a different guy.
Nothing's worse than that guy.
Like when I see you at 5 something in the morning, when we talk, we have one conversation. When I see you, if you're in the midst of talking to or conversing with Greeny in any way, shape, or form, you kind of are not, you're definitely different.
And that's a pejorative. You're not saying that complimentarily. You're saying that because you don't like it.
I've noticed it.
You've noticed it.
It's been noticed.
My goodness. Yeah. Anyone else?
It's been noticed.
Did you know that the Thunder are the first team since the 2016 Spurs to allow 95 or fewer points in 5 consecutive playoff games? This team is
playing. So that's what you got from that whole
outstanding thing, huh? Defense. Yeah. And I have one more number.
Oh, can't wait.
Selfish as it may be. To demonstrate this. So right now in the postseason, they've played 5 games. Their defensive rating, the number of points they allow or permit per 100 possessions, is 94.8. Less than a point per possession. For context, the Minnesota Timberwolves led the NBA in defensive efficiency this season at 108.4. Right now, again, it's just 5 playoff games. And it's with Luka Doncic on one leg in the most recent one. The Thunder are a team we have to talk about more, should talk about more. If you're getting that kind of buy-in and that kind of output from your defense, that coach is as good as anyone in the world right now at that job, and their connectivity on defense is a sight to behold.
Any more stats?
I actually had one more.
Oh,
yeah.
Can't
so
wait.
The effective field goal percentage that
everybody's
they're permitting right
talking
now
about that
is,
today.
Look, I mean, it's not just me you're hearing this from. It's 45.1 this postseason. To contextualize that number, Russell Westbrook, one of the very worst shooters in the league, his was 48.6 during the regular season. So right now, the Thunder defense is turning you into a worse shooting version of Russell Westbrook.
Regardless of who you are.
Regardless of who you are. I mean, they are playing astonishingly good defense.
Would you say that their defense is better than that of the T-Wolves defense?
Right now, it definitely is. Now, I'm looking at my ESPN Bet app, and I'm curious where you're going to net out on this. I'm looking at the title
actually,
winner.
What?
The ESPN Bet app.
And where I can. You said something else after that, I thought.
And I'm curious where you net out on the answer to this question.
I don't net out.
Right now, the Celtics are -105 to win the title. You told me that you thought that you'd favor three of the four remaining West teams over them in the finals. Of course, that's a different discussion. The Timberwolves are +275. The Thunder are +650. The Knicks 10-1. The Nuggets 16-1. The Mavs 18-1. Of those numbers that I just gave you, excluding the Pacers and the Cavs,
so if
right
I bet
now,
$100 on the Thunder, I win what?
$6,500?
$650. Oh, $650, excuse me.
That's a good value, right?
Considering the fact that they have lost one game in the postseason. Right?
No, they're undefeated.
They're undefeated in the postseason.
They're 5-0.
Yeah, so we have two undefeated postseason teams, right, in Minnesota and Oklahoma City, and one of the odds is +650 at ESPN.
+650?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a good bet.
I just feel
it just seems so, like Oklahoma City feels 3 years ahead of time, and Minnesota feels 2 years ahead of time for me.
Yes, they definitely feel that way. That's what the public feels. But the facts on the ground say this team is ready to win right now. There's no obvious attribute of their profile that suggests that anything that they did during the regular season is fool's gold. They were the best team in the way better conference. I think you'd agree with me there. They had probably the MVP runner-up in SGA with a really deep team. They play great defense. They're top five in both offense and defense. They're going to have home court advantage throughout. How in the world are they considered +650 if Minnesota's +275? I don't want to get too much into the gambling lingo, but there's just no way that Minnesota's that much better than OKC. Granted, they've won one fewer game so far. I get it.
I'm going to tell you what it is in my mind.
What is it?
Okay, perception here on these two teams. I think there's a couple of things. I think whenever you have a young team that's this good, the number one thing that we actually don't acknowledge that we look for, that we actually do look for, when you have a really young team in any sport and you're debating whether or not they could actually win a title, and they're made up of young players, the number one thing we look for is someone old. And I think the difference with Minnesota and Oklahoma City, Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert, and Karl Anthony Towns, for that matter, are players that are deemed to be older, veteran, been there, done that. Mike Conley has been through this. Their point guard. Who's that person with the Oklahoma City Thunder? The veteran player they have that's had some playoff wear and tear would be Gordon Hayward, who most people do not know is even on the Thunder and only played 7 minutes last night. You know what changed our mindset a little bit about the Golden State Warriors when they won the championship the first time?
2015.
Andre Iguodala. A former All-Star in a lesser role as a veteran guy who had kind of been there and done that to some extent, and we look for someone that can do the figurative and literal arm around the young player and say, I know what we're doing, follow me here. It is abnormal for us to think that a team of only young guys could potentially lead themselves to a championship. Look at the Houston Texans last year. It's weird to think that they could have actually gone to a title, but they went deep-ish into the playoffs for a team that young. But now when you bring Steph Diggs in, you bring other guys that have been there and done that, and I'm not saying you want him as the leader necessarily,
no,
you get
it.
The overall point.
Of course.
I think Minnesota has guys that have been there and done that, and I think the number one thing, if Oklahoma City does not get to the finals or fall short this year in any way, shape, or form, is a veteran big man that they are going to potentially bring in, or more veterans to complement the youth. I just think that the perception on this is huge. When you're that young, what example is there of that kind of team winning a championship?
There is no precedent. They were the youngest one seed ever. I think it's natural to compare this version of the Thunders to the previous version of the Thunder, the KD, Harden, Westbrook Thunder. Cam, when you see this team in relation to that team, based upon where they are right now, Evan just described them as being a year or two ahead of schedule, say, is this outlook, let's say the next 3 to 5 years, based on the talent and based on all the assets, more or less favorable than what that team was able to show?
The 2012 team, you're saying?
Yes, that version of those teams. They wound up making the Final Four four times in 6 years.
I think this is a horrible question.
How so?
Like, one of the worst questions Hembo's ever asked, Cam, and I don't mean to interrupt.
It's in the Google Doc.
It doesn't mean that it can't be a bad question.
It's my question.
For it to be asked. I'm going to tell you why.
Wow. Damn question.
I'm going to tell you why. How do you not play the results here? How do you not look at that Thunder team and know ultimately Durant didn't want to stay,
mm-hmm.
Harden didn't want to stay,
mm-hmm.
they couldn't work it out with all of those guys, and they had no ability really to replenish because of the fact that they left, not in the Durant case, by way of trade. He just went to another team with no compensation in return. This team, because they have so many young players, they will be able to make a few two-for-one types of deals. They have so many draft picks, but that team did not. And this team feels like a group, and again, this is so ridiculous to say, but it feels like a group that is not going to ask out. It feels like a group that is clearly all in together and
right.
want more guys to join them. Plus, you could say this with Harden to some extent, but not with them. I think their best player ultimately is not their best player now. I think Jalen Williams is going to end up being probably the guy that they're going to ultimately build this thing
really?
Around. Really? Because of the position he plays.
What's the best player comp for him? Is it someone like Kawhi?
Yeah. Yes, probably.
Okay.
He's smaller, I think, height-wise than Kawhi.
A little bit. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a fair question to ask, how do they compare to that team? Because we know the results of that team. And how is Cam, who's about 14 years old, going to remember his feelings in the moment in 2012, how old were you in 2012, Cam?
I mean, that's when I was 14.
Okay. See, good number to throw out there.
Nailed
I just
it.
Don't know how you make that comp. I really don't know how you compare these two things because one has a chance of such longer sustainability because they have a million draft picks.
Yeah, but I think you still had the – and I understand everything you're saying. And I think you did answer the question, even though you said it was unanswerable. But KD, Russ, and James Harden were 22, 22, and 23 when that team happened. So they might not have had the assets for the future, but you should have prospected that they would be, for the next 5 to 10 years, be able to at least dominate the league to some extent together if they were all able to get on the same page, which they obviously were not.
See,
whereas this team seems like they will be able to because there is more planning for the future.
See, I think the better question that Cam has posed to us mm-hmm. is about the idea of overall team building in sports. If you look at this Oklahoma City Thunder team for a few years, they were embarrassing in the way in which they operated relative to tanking, right? Taking on any bad contract you possibly can take on to get paid off to do that. I think strategically that makes sense. I don't know that everybody can get away with that. If you look at the history of teams that tanked and then got out of the tank, I believe at this point their executive, Sam Presti, will join only Theo Epstein with the Cubs as an executive that was allowed to tank and then find his way out of the tank. Think about other general managers in sports that walked through a process or a tank, and did they come out of it on the other side?
All of them did not.
Theo Epstein, like literally the Astros tanked, had multiple general managers through that process.
Mm-hmm.
The Philadelphia 76ers, your team, Cam's team, known for the process, this is now what, their fourth
their
executive?
Fourth, this is their fourth executive if you don't count Brian Colangelo's wife.
Which Hembo clearly does.
Right, okay, so fifth executive with Mrs. Colangelo, right? I mean, think about it. Sam Presti was allowed to tear this thing down and build it back up. So the reason that most of these teardowns and processes don't work is because the vision that starts changes throughout.
Right, and the owner usually becomes impatient.
Right, and so in this case, by Clay Bennett, I believe, is the majority governor of the Oklahoma City Thunder. If I'm mistaken,
it wasn't too right? prolonged a tank. I mean, they went 22-50 in 2021.
It's not about that.
24. What's it about then? It's the assets?
Walk me through Al Horford and Kemba Walker's Thunder career. Go ahead.
No, 100%. That part of it, you're 100% right. I think when people think tank, when I think tank, no pun intended, I think 3, 4, 5 years of super low salaries and prolonged obvious losing.
That's not the smart way of doing it. The smart way of doing it is to say to the Chicago Bulls, how many picks will you give us for Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball for us to take them in?
Yeah, I mean, Sam Presti's done that very, very well.
Right, and so they've done that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on Davis Bertans' career with the Thunder? I mean, we could probably go look through a list of guys
these are
Thunder
all,
had.
These are all points well made, but...
And by the way, I don't know... that other markets and other executives can actually get away with that.
Well, that's
so
interesting.
The team building that Cam properly points out and how ridiculously good it is that you just look at this team and they have so many players that are just good. Like, I'm not saying Shea is great, right? But they have so many above-average professional basketball players that are below 25 years old on below market value contracts. I don't know that other markets can get away with that in all sports. I don't know that you can do that. I don't know how you go about doing that.
That's an interesting thought exercise. So I think that we have reached a place in the NBA now where the teams that are likely to be the most successful in this current iteration of the CBA are the teams with the most young, controllable, value-positive players. In the Western Conference, there's no question the Thunder are that team. Do you agree with me that the era of the super team, given all the sort of punitive measures that are in place now financially, is probably coming to a close because you have a much better chance to build a sustainable winner over a prolonged period of time if you can retain assets or even stockpile assets, develop your own people, and build a culture rather than trying to, let's say, microwave the success the way that the Clippers have and the way that the Suns have?
Well, I think what you're going to see is smart teams are just going to continuously take players at positions that you think they already have. Because what they're going to have to churn, right? So if you take, for instance, I don't want to go too deep in the weeds here, but like the Thunder took a guy by the name of Cason Wallace,
yeah,
who plays point guard, combo guard, however you want to look at it, kind of the same position as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But what happens is ultimately Josh Giddey, who's their shooting guard, they're going to move off of. Shai is going to play differently, and they're just going to move someone up. And they're going to continue to do that with all of the picks.
Like a regenerative cycle.
Whatever that means, yeah. And so I think in general, they are built in a way that is dead on, 1,000% the right way of doing it, but I don't actually think it's scalable in bigger markets for bigger teams with all executives.
To the 2020s, which franchise is going to win more playoff series? The Timberwolves or the Thunder?
The Timberwolves, I think, at this specific point.
Wow.
Because I think that Anthony Edwards...
I don't agree.
I think Anthony Edwards tops out maybe greater than anybody with the Thunder, and then the complementary pieces around him will be...
Will come.
Yes, and it'll just be one-year kind of deals. All right. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. I may take that back in about 2 minutes. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together, or you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We do have Sneaky Hembo trivia.
Jalen Brunson has scored 210 points.
You do your own sound effects now?
I mean, you didn't hit the sounder, so I had to
I
make
don't
sure.
have a sounder to
I'm
hit.
I'm trying to get the sponsor. It has
what
to come
like?
With...
I'm gonna press air.
All right, on three, we're going to do the da-da-da together. Ready? One, two, three.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Jalen Brunson has scored 210 points over his last five games, which raises this question. Which player scored the most points over any five-game span during the regular season? During this past regular season, which player scored the most points over any five-game span?
We'll find out.
Thank you.
Coming up on Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Greeny, the podcast.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
You are weirder than ever today, I gotta be honest with you.
What are you talking about?
You are, I don't know what's going on with you. Gotta be honest.
Can I ask my question?
Yeah, as you're doing the wave. By the way, along with Himbo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today.
So Jalen Brunson has scored 210 points. Over his last five games, which raises this question. Which NBA player scored the most points over any five-game span during this year's regular season? That's the question.
All right, I'll say Luka.
Luka is also being guessed by both Jack and by Brandon. So we have three Lukas in the room. Cam, Bubba, what do you got?
I'm going with Joel Embiid. He scored 70 points in a game this year, and he was leading the league in scoring. So it seems
good
like one. The obvious answer, but I'm going with him.
I'm going to go with LeBron James.
So one LeBron, one Embiid.
Was there a stretch you're thinking about specifically, Bubba, or are you just throwing that out because it's LeBron?
No stretch. I just feel like it'll just be a shocking, like, wow, it's actually LeBron. That's crazy.
Sometimes I sneak LeBron past you guys, as you well know. The correct answer is Joel Embiid.
Yes. Wow. Good job,
Cam. Woo! Cam, you'll probably recall this stretch. It was between January 15th and January 22nd. Scored 221 points over that span. By the way, Luka had a 220-point stretch over a 5-game span from the end of January to the to early February. So you guys were incorrect, but only 1 point off the mark.
Wow.
Good stretch.
Good stretch.
Just LeBron 1 point off the mark.
In there at all?
Let me find LeBron's highest 5-game scoring stretch this season.
Correct me if I'm wrong. LeBron James' career averages are 27-7-7, but he's never had a 27-7 in game, correct?
A fun stat.
Yeah?
By the way, LeBron did not have a stretch this season that ranked inside the top 200.
That's pretty embarrassing.
How is that possible?
What do you mean, how is it possible?
Wait a minute. You're saying there are 200 players.
No, 200 stretches.
200 5-game spans.
I apologize. 205 game stretches in the league this year that were greater than the best 5-game stretch of LeBron's career. I'm sorry, of LeBron's season. Wow.
Yes.
I'm nailing this.
That's right.
Sneaky Evco trivia.
LeBron's
won't
best
be in English.
LeBron's best stretch this season was a 149 point span in late February and
so
early March.
30 a game. Solid.
And that is 397th.
That was one of the worst trivia guesses.
So you were 396 spots away, Bubba, from getting that right.
In fairness to Bubba, though, there's probably only a couple dozen players, you know, including...
Well, who has the most 5-game stretches like that this season? Would it also be Embiid, or is Luka? It Luka?
It's Luka, because he just played more. But there's like a Desmond Bane stretch with more points than LeBron had in any 5-game span. So, look, I'm not sitting here to shame Bubba. He's just not nearly as smart when he's sitting in that chair, which he's doing for the first time.
Right, yeah. Mm. I'm not used to sitting here, so.
You miss any of Greeny, catch up on both hours of the show and the Greeny Podcast, available daily wherever you get your podcast.
By the way, why are
they... I'm sorry, what?
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
You don't have the...
I'm sorry. What?
I'm sorry, what?
You don't have the board. How do I know you're hitting that?
Where, are you not looking at the same rundown that I'm looking at?
I'm looking at the same rundown you're looking at, but he's not in my ear saying I'm playing the sounder next.
He didn't say anything. It says pause for production.
He's not on the Zoom.
You're a compiler.
He's not on the Zoom?
Never on the Zoom.
On the Zoom?
Yeah, I send a Zoom every single day and put a ton of information on the screen, and it's very obvious.
I'm in the Google Doc right now. There's no Zoom.
Right, but there's an updated rundown with everything in the Zoom. And he erases it once we do it.
But you're not even in the Zoom.
I'm in the Zoom right here.
No,
he's in the Zoom every single day.
I can see, but there.
I've never not been in the Zoom since being honored enough to fill in on this show.
Do you guys ever do the Zoom when Greeny's here?
No.
Okay.
I'm a fill-in on this show.
Of course. And an esteemed one at that. Are you saying I should be looking at this screen the same way that you are?
Well, yeah.
You had to ask a question.
It would help you not talk over
you
production.
You talked over the production to set up what we're trying to do, which now we're running out of time to do it because you just feel the need to give stats on the most ridiculous, dumb things of all time.
Okay, then what was the point of playing that production? What was coming next?
It was just a change of pace. It was like throwing a curveball if you're throwing a million fastballs. Sometimes you need to throw one in the dirt.
I see.
Sometimes, get him to chase.
Sometimes you gotta throw a chase pitch. You gotta spike one, a swing over pitch. That's what that was.
I just said that. Now you're trying to do it in a way, say the exact same thing that I said, but trying to sound smarter than I said. I just said throw it in the dirt, and you said, oh, what, a spike over pitch?
A swing over pitch, a spike pitch.
You literally did just repeat what he said.
Just in baseball lingo.
In a different way.
Okay, LeBron, what's next here? What's next here?
Desmond Bane's next.
That's a good point. You went to Desmond Bane, who got hurt this year, unfortunately. The Memphis Grizzlies, sorry, my buddy Brad Carson, 92.9 in Memphis, were terrible this year, okay? You went to Desmond Bane's 5-game stretch to speak over everything that we're trying to do.
I'm launching this Zoom. Hold on. You can keep talking. I'm going to pull up the Zoom call, see if it's
thanks.
Legit.
Here's Austin Rivers with Pat McAfee, and I'll set up that topic this way.
Where the best athletes in the world are, that's us. I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA.
Whoa. It's because you only allow 5 on the court. Let's all relax.
It's because you get a break every play. All you got to do is catch the ball and run north or south.
Listen, our sport.
It ain't complex.
So our sport's better. Our sport's better because we would just create a position for one of you 5'2", 40, running 6'10" guys. Can't get hit much. Fragile. Yeah. All right. Little thin, very. We would just create a position because we got big brains.
So Austin Rivers said there are 30-plus NBA players that could play in the NFL. Created a lot of waves yesterday. I love this conversation. It's a hypothetical, crazy one, but it's always fun. When I first heard this, I actually thought, you know what? He's probably right about that. Because I think there's a bunch of guys in the NBA that are built in a way that could potentially play in the NFL. When I brought it up this morning on Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, Canty laughed at the notion, saying that maybe there's one player in the NBA that could play in the NFL. One. He named one by name. You want to guess? Sneaky Evco trivia. Who did Chris Canty that is the one player that could play in the NFL that is currently an active NBA player in his mind that doesn't have NFL or football background, i.e., household name, Ish Wainwright, who's in the NBA, who played tight end at Baylor.
TJ McConnell?
No. Interesting. Cam, Bubba, if you guys didn't hear it.
I know it's not Jokic.
Great guess. Okay. So,
Bubba, you're great at guessing this stuff. Who do you think it is?
Probably LeBron.
The answer he gave was Russell Westbrook.
Oh, man.
What was his explanation for that?
He's the only one crazy enough.
Crazy enough.
That there's the level of crazy he believes as an 11-time NFL or 11-year NFL player.
Interesting.
The level of crazy it actually takes to play in that league is one that he does not believe NBA players have for the most part. I look at a guy like PJ Tucker or Marcus Smart or Drew Holiday or even on the Thunder, you know, they have some guys that you could look at, and Lou Dort, and say
he's a specimen.
Like compact, strong, 6'4 and smaller guys that I think could potentially play in the NFL, and he laughed at the notion.
Really? Because of the crazy factor.
You have nothing. You just, we're running out of time. He doesn't know where to go. His answer is simply, really?
Coming up, celebrities. They just handle things differently. That's right. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
I was supposed to say
this. And
the
ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.